Hey, how's everybody doing today? I wanted to start out with just a couple of lyrics that meant a lot to me when I was probably in the sixth and seventh grade. When my soul was in the lost and found, you came along to claim it. Before the day I met you, life was so unkind, but you're the key to the peace of my mind. You make me feel like a new creation. Praise God. I had to get that in. She was one of my musical heroes growing up. My favorite song by Aretha was "This is the House that Jack Built." I don't remember the names on it, and I don't know who Jack was. I didn't even know what it was. I just liked the beat of it. Praise God. Anyway, praise God. Consider really for a moment the times we live in right now. And you think about the times 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, what we see, hear, and tolerate, really, except today, would not be acceptable to a generation ago. Is that true or not? What people accept today is really not what you saw a generation ago. Paul made it clear that believers stand in stark contrast to the pagan world. In the Greco-Roman world of that day, including the city of Ephesus, because we're in Ephesians today, it was noted for moral corruption. It was very corrupted in that day. There was a temple called Artemis, which offered ritual prostitution as part of its worship. Sexual promiscuity was a common place in that time. Emperor Nero was, I don't feel comfortable saying from the pulpit the things that Nero did, so I'm going to leave it at that. But he was messed up. I mean, he was messed up. So I really think it's imperative for the church to be really distinct from this corrupt culture because they're facing God's judgment. And Paul reminded us that we are the light of the Lord. That's what today is all about. You see from the title, Live, Discern, Avoid, Expose. There's your fill-ins right there, praise God. But Ephesians 5:8 says this, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." And if you look at that verse there, Paul does not say that we used to be in darkness, whereas we are now the light, although that is true. But Paul stated, you were darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Think about it. Jesus made a similar statement when he said, you're the light of the world. Jesus, like Paul, did not say we are to be as light or act as light, but we are the light. As believers, we're the light. So today I want to give you, because I feel like Paul revealed four ways to light up the world. So there's another guy named Bob Dylan who did a Christian album called Saved. And in that album, there was a song, Are You Ready? And he would sing, Are You Ready? And the backup singers would sing, Ready. So I'm going to sing it, Are You Ready? And then you do Ready. Are You Ready? Ready. Are You Ready? There you go. Praise God. Number one, live as children in the light. Ephesians 5:8-9 says, For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are in the light. And the Lord, walk as children of the light. And in parentheses, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. So the theme of the light and darkness is really prominent throughout all the Bible when you read the scriptures. Darkness symbolizes a few things. And I wrote this in your listening guide, Satan's evil domain, the wicked deeds of those who don't obey God, but it also represents spiritual ignorance of those whose sin has blinded the eyes from the light of the truth. Think about it. Scripture tells us in Ephesians 4:18, they are darkened and their understanding alienated from the life of God. Why? Because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in the case the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So the word light really paints a picture for us of the knowledge of the truth that comes when God shines his light into our lives. Verse 8 in Ephesians 5 is a beautiful picture of conversion. coming to Christ is like walking from darkness into a room filled with blazing, blazing light. And then once you come out of the darkness, you see things you've never seen before. When you live in darkness, you did whatever you wanted to do. There was no authority in your life. That's why you see people hating authority now, because they're in darkness. That's why you don't want people don't want accountability, because they want to do whatever they want to do with whomever they want to do it with. But now that you are in the light, you must put off the deeds of darkness and put on a lifestyle fitting to the children of light. That's what Christianity is all about. Being the children of light really implies that put on a lifestyle. This profound change comes from God's power in the new birth. Our purity is not human-made or self-made. It's God-given to us. His light in us shines through us and out from us. It makes us distinct from the world. Just because we're children of light does not guarantee that we'll live that way. Think about it. I like to say that again. Just because we're children of the light does not guarantee that we live that way. But Paul stated, live. Live as children of the light. In effect, Paul is really saying, be what you are. You are the light now. Walk that way. Paul revealed three ways for us to walk in the light. One, being good. You know, how can I represent the light as being a follower of Christ? One, by being good. Goodness is one of God's attributes. So to be good is to be like God. The word goodness is a broad term for behavior that benefits others ahead of oneself. A good person is concerned for the well-being of others, both spiritually and every other way. That's why when Elizabeth's asking for joys and concerns, people are concerned about what other people are going through. So we want to pray for them because we're concerned for them. We want their well-being, both spiritually and every other way. So good, therefore, shows how we deal with others. Next, being righteous is a great way to share the light. The word righteousness refers to conformity to God's righteous standards as outlined in His Word. A righteous person is upright before God and before others. He is just and fair on how he treats others. Righteousness, therefore, embraces a new commitment to obey God's command. So you want to be good, you want to be righteous, and you want to be truthful. In this context of these verses here, truth stands in contrast to the deceived unbelievers. We are to be a people of our word, maintaining integrity in all things. We shouldn't have anything to hide because we walk in the light. We are people of all truth. Truth, therefore, demands a deep commitment to living with integrity. So we want to share the light. We live as children of light. Number two, we discern what is pleasing to God. A great word, discern. He says in verse 10, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Praise God. To see that verse 9 is in a parenthesis, therefore verse 10 goes back to verse 8 and summarizes what it means to live as children of the light. Namely, that we prove by our experience what is pleasing to the Lord. We do not determine what pleases the Lord by our feelings, which can fluctuate, or by what other Christians would say or think. We don't even decide it by our conscience, and that our conscience may be improperly informed. Rather, we learn what pleases the Lord through growing to understand His Word. Praise God. I want you to know that Kyle Van Spierenberg just walked in the sanctuary. Hey, Kyle, how you doing, man? Going away to college. This is Joey Leveling's last Sunday here. He's going away to college. Praise God. I'm proud of you guys, man. You're going to mess up that campus, man, for Christ. Praise God, for Christ. Praise God. Beautiful. We learn what pleases the Lord through growing to understand His Word. Living to please the Lord is a fundamental difference between the believer and the unbeliever. That's why we spur people on to be in fellowship. We spur people on to be in Bible studies and to fellowship with one another and be in worship services and being part of community groups. I have a picture of two young girls here this morning at 8 o'clock. being prepared to get ready for the community groups here. I just wanted you to see a little picture. Is that beautiful or what? 8 o'clock this morning in here. Look at that. Pastor Nick, what questions, what verses do I need to look up? I need to be ready for my community group. They're so cute. Oh, my God. Kathy, I love those two. Wow. Beautiful. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Those girls messed me up. An unbeliever. Think about it. It may be a good person. You might know some people that are good people and maybe even somewhat righteous or upright, at least outwardly. He may be truthful. I know a lot of Mormons like that. I know a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses like that. They're upright, they're righteous, and they may be truthful, but they do it out of selfish motives. They do it for self-respect so that others will think highly of them. But only believers live to please the Savior. We have a new personal relationship with this one who snatched us out of a horrible pit. And now we evaluate everything we do to the question, does this please the Lord who loved me and gave himself for me? Seriously, I want you college boys to ask that question every night at college. Praise God. Is what we're doing right now please the Lord who loved me and gave himself for me? The next way, the third way, avoid people and circumstances that would lead to sin. Think about it. He goes on in verses 11 and 12, take no part in the unfruitful work of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. Seriously, I couldn't speak what Nero did here from the pulpit. But if you look at history and see what he did, it's unbelievable. And I'm sure it's the same in this generation without a doubt. And no doubt when Paul wrote this, you know, he had in mind the various rituals associated with the Temple of Artemis, also called Diana, located in Ephesus. There's a picture, hopefully, of that there. It was considered one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It drew worshipers and tourists from many distant lands, and temporal rituals combined with explicit idolatry and every sort of sexual excess was done in that temple back in that day. And when Paul spoke these verses, what is done by them in secret, he meant a vile form of evil that goes beyond ordinary acts of rebellion. It described evil that's gross and unnatural and perverted. Indeed, this applies to various acts of sexual immorality associated with idol worship at the Temple of Artemis. And the light of the gospel will expose evil for what it is. Think about this. This is a good example. If you're planning to buy an expensive diamond, you want to view it to see how bright it is, how the light possibly, the brightest light possible for you to make the purchase, because the light will expose the hidden flaws of that stone. Shadows hide the flaws, but the light reveals all of them. Similarly, when the gospel enters a family, the hidden secrets will be revealed. And when the gospel invades a community, corruption will come to light. The last way I put number four, expose unfruitful works of darkness. It says in verses 11 through 14 of Ephesians 5, take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Think about this. When a little child cries in a dark room, his mother turns on the light, and the tears quickly vanish. The coming of the light shows him that there's no reason to be afraid. The monsters of his imagination disappear when she turns on the light. And apply this to the spiritual realm. Sexual sin done in the secret seems pleasurably, precisely because of the secrecy. But let those email and text messages be made public, and suddenly the romance fades as light enters the room. A wise counselor once often told his clients, you're only as sick as your secrets. You can't get better until you begin to speak the truth to yourself. As long as you live a double life with one foot in the light and one foot in the darkness, you'll ever be torn. You'll be what the Bible calls double-minded and unhealthy because your heart is divided. Knowing anybody that way right now? Know anybody that struggling with that? And that's why Paul wrote, "Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead and Christ will shine upon you." In that verse 14, it's like the Bible in miniature. It's often compared to John 3:16 as both verses contain the essential truth we need to know about salvation. Because when the light of the gospel comes in, it wakes us up spiritually. It wakes up the spiritually dead and draws them to Jesus. Don't we long for that to happen here every week? Don't we long for that light to shine on darkness and shine on somebody who doesn't know Him? Because the light shines on us and transforms us from darkness to light. And in that process, the same light purifies us on the inside so that we seek to please God in everything. Then the light shining through us chases away the darkness and exposes the evil done under the cover of the night. And because men love darkness rather than light, it says that in John 3:19, they often fight against the light of God. But when the light does its work thoroughly, it contains within itself a healing power. There's a healing power in the light. Think about it. Because the light comes from God and it takes the darkness and turns it into light. And we know this is true because of what happened to us. And finally, the light awakens those who are asleep and raises them from the dead. And this truth is why Paul was not ashamed of the gospel and why he boldly preached it in the very heart of the ancient world in Corinth and Ephesus and Athens and Rome. Paul knew that when the gospel shines on society, the light will expose some people and make them angry. Read that again. You see any anger anywhere today? Paul knew when the gospel light shines on society, the light will expose some people and make them angry. But that same light awakens others to their need of Christ. Praise God, if you want to come forward. I want to close with the next three verses, Ephesians 5:15 through 17. Look carefully then. Think about it. Look carefully then as you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time. Because the days are evil. The days we are living in now are evil. We see it everywhere. Therefore, Paul writes, do not be foolish. Do not be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. So four ways that we can shine our light upon this world is to live as children of the light, discern what is pleasing to the Lord, avoid people and circumstances that would lead to sin, and expose unfruitful works of darkness. The ushers want to come forward. Thank you so much. Father, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for your word. I love these verses in Ephesians 5 because they talk about the light and they talk about us, how we used to be, how we were once darkness, but now the light has shined upon us, Father. And we thank you for that light, Father. And you're preparing each one of us to share that light in this generation to our neighbors, to our work associates, to our friends, maybe even the family members who don't know you, Father. Because we're born in darkness, but when that light shines upon us and we receive you into our hearts, that light chases away the darkness, Father. And we long for that. So, Father, I pray for our offering right now, Father. I pray that you would bless our offering. Thank you, Father, for all you're doing here. Thank you for having St. Michael's Academy here, Father, which has definitely helped us to be able to do our missions work and to do all the things we need to do to run a church, Father. So we thank you, Father, and we give you the glory, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. This altar's open now as we sing this song. Please stand. If you need prayer for anything, if there's some college students you want to pray over, maybe they'll come up and we'll pray for them. I'm not pointing at anybody, but praise God. Love you guys.